What is going on, everyone? This garage open for the EG3 show. My name is Eddie Greer III, host of the EG3 show, which is all about, once again, ladies and gentlemen, the world of NASCAR, Cable World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, Monster Energy, NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And tonight, on this edition of the EG3 show, you know what time it is. It is time for the post-race reaction coming from Texas. This is past 24 hours after a chaotic race in the Lone Star State. And yes, once again, the name Kyle Busch finally breaks the string of finishes second and third for a few weeks straight now. And Kyle Busch is the coming second last week, or excuse me, 2 weeks ago in Martinsville, coming back and holding off a hard charging Kevin Harvick to win his first win on the season. And yes, he is on the board here in 2018 and yet extends his regular season points lead. And this race, kind of like the Xfinity Series race over the weekend, this one had its adventures, twists, and turns in this one as well, including some miscues from other teams. And obviously, we'll get into what I caught last night. Controversy, more controversy from NASCAR concerning the four of Kevin Harvick. We'll get into that momentarily here tonight on this post-race reaction, Texas style, here this evening on the EG3 show. But we're going to start with the Xfinity Series and the 22 bunch of Penske Racing got it done once again. And right now, Penske Racing is on now a 3-race winning streak thanks to Ryan Blaney, a dominating performance on Saturday afternoon, taking the checkered flag. And what has become a big-time tradition of Ryan's is handing a checkered flag to a youngster after he gets a victory. And, of course, he didn't do it for his Pocono win, his first win in the Cup side yet. But I imagine that will happen when he gets his next Cup Series win. But that's a very, very, very good tradition that Ryan started up, that he won last year at Dover, and then handed a checkered flag to a young boy, and he did the same exact thing, and he's doing it his way. And on top of his win over the weekend, his daddy, Dave Blaney, did it again in the sprint car, if I'm correct. So, yeah, Dave Blaney did that as well. Not the celebration, but he ended up winning his race 30 minutes later than Ryan, after Ryan crossed the checkered flag first as well. So, father and son gathering up checkered flags this weekend. And I believe that race was Port Scott. I'm not 100% sure if that's right or not, but it was posted on Ryan Blaney's Twitter timeline on Saturday afternoon, just 30 minutes to 40 minutes later, after he won, took home the checkered flag. And since Tyler Reddick won the season opener, it's been 5 straight races now that a Cup Series regular has taken the checkered flag in the Xfinity Series. So once again, you know, we talk about on this podcast that the fact that, you know, this is supposed to be where the regulars thrive and going against the Cup guys, but still, even with the new rules that these Cup guys are limited to these amount of races, they're still going out here and putting a whipping on the Xfinity Series regulars. But leading the pack for the Xfinity Series, that and a person of Christopher Bell, leading the pack in that for Joe Gibbs Racing. And this race had, like the Cup Series, both races really had a rhythm, but it seemed to be off, especially in the Xfinity Series. You had guys losing control, including Jamie McMurray going for a spin early in this race, and people losing tires and all that. But at the end of the afternoon, Ryan Blaney comes out here and once again wins the race in the Xfinity Series. And now, in the big difference from this weekend, it was supposed to be warm, and it was not. So, Blaney leading 132 laps en route to a brand spanking win in Texas. They had Christopher Bell second, Daniel Hemric in third, Cole Custer fourth, Ryan Preece a surprising fifth, then followed by Matt Tiff, Jay McMurray, coming off the spin early in the race, comes back in 7th position. And Jamie Mack, by the way, desperately needed a great run in a Cup Series in Texas, and he got that. We'll have that momentarily. Elliott Sadler finished 8th. Austin Cindric, an impressive 9th. And Spencer Gallagher, your top 10 in the race from Saturday's race. And we got the four drivers, and I failed to mention this on the preview show, so I apologize for that. But the Dash for Cast that's been so popular in the Xfinity Series, it's back. It'll officially start this weekend at Bristol. And you have also this Texas race was supposed to be the beginning of the Dash for Cast. Well, the qualifying drivers, obviously, for so if you guys don't follow the Dash for Cash, okay, the biggest prize, you can get $100,000 at the end of these four races that Dash for Cash has signed. Of course, Bristol, Talladega is in it, Richmond, and there's one more race involved in this as well. But yes, so Texas was the grand opening, and nobody won, of course, the big money prize, but this was the start of it. So you have to finish for the Xfinity regulars. You had to be the top four Xfinity Series regulars to take a part in the opening race of the Dash for Cash, which is this upcoming weekend at Bristol. And here are the drivers that are going to compete in this. As soon as I can pull up the main page where I had earlier. So the Xfinity Series drivers for Bristol, you got Christopher Bell, Daniel Hemric of RCR. Then you have, I believe that is Matt Tiff, as I go on here. And, well, I have to go through the list here first. So Christopher Bell, he is going to be a part of this mix. And he finished set again, runner-up to Ryan Blaney at Texas. And then your next guy, of course, that and a person of Daniel Hemric, who finished right behind Bell in third. And then following that, Cole Custer. So Cole Custer will be a part of the mix at Bristol for Stuart Haas Racing. He finished fourth at Texas. And a surprise, I mean, this shouldn't be a surprise, last year's surprise, but Ryan Preece being acclimated to these longer racetracks. He got a win at Iowa last year. Ryan Preece will be the fourth and final driver participating in the Dash for Cash for Bristol coming up. So definitely these four pack a huge punch for an opportunity to advance to the next eligible race. So a lot going on for the Xfinity Series in that and some notables here for the Xfinity Series drivers, of course, Chase Briscoe comes home in 11th, Ryan Reed in 14th. Before him, Ryan Truex finished 13th. He started on the front row, finishing the 13th spot. Then Michael Annette, Jeremy Kmetz, 15th and 16th, respectively. Then Dylan Lupton, a respectable 17th place finish. And Ryan Sieg there in 18th spot. And then to go outside the top 20, Tyler Reddick outside the box, finishing in a 23rd position. And Brandon Jones, who had an opportunity to do something big. And he was right there in the mix. And yet again, unfortunate circumstances, he won his first playoff point in his Xfinity Series career, the second stage of this race. And then to come home deep in the field, disappointing. Brandon Jones showed some definite improvement this year, of course, coming over from Richard Childress Racing to JGR. Kind of a, even though RCR has been increasing a little bit here, climbing up the ranks here in the Xfinity Series this year, Joe Gibbs Racing still a little bit better talent, but RCR has starting to close the gap in the Xfinity Series race. Brandon Jones, he was fast on Saturday, but did not finish, get the job done. Unfortunately, he got caught up after winning the stage, having to pit and being shuffled, losing the track position, and then getting caught up in that mess there. Such an unfortunate situation. So definitely, Brandon Jones has nothing to hold his head down about. But he is coming. He is trending up, in my opinion. So there's that as well. You're listening to the EG3 Show. My name is Eddie Greer III with you guys this evening. And sorry for kind of a low tone here to start off the podcast here. But it will, of course, be better here as I go along. As it's late here on this Monday night here after, for me, a busy Monday with our circumstances. But, hey, getting it in, the post-race podcast, and definitely this race, this Xfinity Series race, we started off kind of, you know, caution, a few laps, and another caution, especially at the start of the race. But as the race went on, Ryan Blaney dictated the pace, and he absolutely put it on the field, and there he was in victory lane at Texas Motor Speedway, and adding another Xfinity Series checkered flag to his resume. You look at the point standings now for the Xfinity Series regulars as they head into that Dash for Cash premiere at Bristol this weekend. Elliott Sadler is your new, well, actually is still your points leader by 11 over Reddick. Christopher Bell in third, Daniel Hemric fourth, and Justin Allgaier, who went out of the race early at Texas, I failed to mention his name in the notables column, but Allgaier, who had a engine go very sour early on in this race, he falls to fifth in the pecking order in the point standings. And still, again, Tyler Reddick still has those five stage points coming off the win at Daytona, and still has the lead in that department. So Sadler hanging on to an 11-point lead, and EG3 helmet stickers going to be handing out right now for the Xfinity Series, so don't wait till the very end to do that. Go ahead, hammer that right now. EG3 helmet stickers, got to give one to Ryan Preece in the fifth spot. Very impressive, and he's gotten better and better on these types of tracks, mile and a half, especially Preece, and he is going to be a part of that mix. And Ryan Preece, let's not sleep now on Preece. Preece is a short track ace, in my opinion. All those wins at New Hampshire in the modifieds that come immediately to my mind, and the way that he dominated Iowa last year, and he's going to be licking his chops at Bristol this weekend. Ryan Preece, EG3 helmet sticker. Matt Tiff continues to be impressive in that two car. He gets an EG3 helmet sticker of the week. And let's go outside the box to the top, outside the top 10 here. Let's give a call out to Chase Briscoe driving that 60 car this past weekend. EG3 helmet sticker of the week. So Preece, Tiff, and Briscoe all get the EG3 helmet stickers this week on the Xfinity Series side. Now we're going to switch gears to the Cup side. Thank you for tuning in to the post-race reaction, EG3 style, with yours truly, Eddie Greer III, here with you guys this evening on this. I'm recording this on this kind of getting late Monday evening. Had a busy day, and now just getting to podcast with you guys as usual for the reaction show. And now talk a little bit about the Cup race that happened yesterday before we take our intermission break, short intermission break, then we'll wrap things up on the back end. But like yesterday, Cup Series, all this was the interesting race from my point of view. Obviously, Kevin Harvick with the comments early in the week saying that he was better than Martin Truex Jr. right now at this stage of the season. Of course, last year, well talked about on the podcast, well noted on the NASCAR media outlets that Harvick made the pass on Truex with 10 to go. And ever since then, really, I really backed that up to Chicagoland for Kevin Harvick last year. It didn't start there at Texas. It started all the way back in the beginning of the postseason last year for this four team, trying to find rhythm, trying to find ways to get faster with the Ford machine, with that number four car, Rodney Childers. And ever since that squad finished third to start off that postseason run last year and eventually make it to the final four at Homestead, they have been nothing but unstoppable so far. And it showed right off the bat early and often in this race. Harvick did win stage one under caution, but unfortunately, Martin Truex Jr. goes out, hits the wall hard late in stage one with an unfortunately tire problem, which was a common theme of the weekend, especially yesterday, seeing a couple of big names go down, Truex one of them. And yes, so definitely was disappointed. Not as mad as I thought I was going to be seeing him go out, but definitely disappointed because he was going to be up there. And I had my doubts because, again, going back to the cold weather, it was supposed to be a little bit warmer this weekend, especially down in Texas. But the cold front hit here in the Midwest here this past weekend, and this is supposed to be spring weather. This is not supposed to happen, but hey, it's the Midwest. These things tend to happen, especially when we're supposed to be getting a little bit warmer, but we're still in the cold stages part. But thankfully, it's going to be getting warmer this weekend. Hopefully, that trend can tends up and we can start to finally feel the spring breeze here in the Midwest. But yeah, definitely seeing Truex go out, and then stage two, Kyle Larson hits the wall on the opposite end of the racetrack in stage number two on the opposite end. That's turn number two. Truex pounded the wall hard coming out of turn four. Larson going into turn number one, and then there are some wacky sequences at that. And then the controversy. I did not catch this until late last night on Twitter, and this came on multiple sources. And this was why I thought, this was my thought process toward the end of this race as well, because Harvick, NASCAR reviewed Harvick's pit stop. This was the final pit stop of the race. You're listening to the EG3 show here tonight. Post race reaction, Texas. Eddie Greeter third. Here are the guys this evening. Late in the game, final pit stop of the afternoon, Harvick pits with Kyle Busch, and they get out. Harvick closes the gap on Kyle Busch coming out of the pits. But what we're focusing on here is, why did NASCAR then penalize Kevin Harvick for the uncontrolled tire situation? This is like the NFL referee situation, you know, with the replays and all that. And NASCAR has it focused really on the pits, on the pit situation. I gotta tell you, this kind of frustrates me even more, because, you know, you want to get it right, and Scott Mellon and all those guys, you know, you're up there in the pit box, you want to make the right call. This is late in the game. This could decide Kevin Harvick's potential to win a fourth race of the year, or to put him back in the pack, penalize him, and take him out of the victory. And he had no shot, even though he chased down Kyle Busch, but he could never pass him, as Kyle Busch ran the perfect 12 laps after the caution came out late in this race for somebody. I can't remember who it was right now, but the caution came out and Harvick still could not get it done over Kyle Busch. But the main thing, the biggest problem is that I have here is, now you wait an hour later after the race is concluded to say, oh, well, you know, we missed the call. Yeah, the hell you did. I mean, earlier calling uncontrolled tires on Blaney early, and then at some point probably made another call. I know there was another call for an uncontrolled tire situation, but this is late in the game. We have to make this call here. I'm no NASCAR expert up here. Not even close about calling, but I was a little bit, questioning on that. There are tires going around on a white line, things like that. We have the catch rule being modified in the NFL, and now, you have this situation where, again, this is not the first time they screwed up. This is the second time, I believe, it may be the first time they screwed up, but again, Scott Miller and his crew screwed up the call. And even though Kevin Harvick was a yo-yo all day long in this race because of his inconsistent pit crew, his pit crew didn't come to play in this race. That's for sure. That's what I know for sure. As his pit crew did not get out of bed, and they were struggling all afternoon long, and he called the performance pathetic from his team, and to be finishing second with a race car like that, I mean, Harvick could have won this race, but the pit crew held him back, and this is not the first time that Harvick and the pit crew have had clashes with one another. This is going back years and years, seeing him with competitive race cars, and the pit crew just screws it all up, whether it was Richard Childress Racing or with Stuart Haas Racing, the champion that he is. I mean, he could win a lot of races, and even though he's won three of them this year, he's had the opportunity to win another one, but the pit crew stumbled, and they stumbled again on that pit stop, and they should have got penalized for that, because there's two tires sitting on the white line, and it was rolling out a little bit. The first one to Harvick's right, the tire was creeping out there a little bit. You want to protect the drivers and all of that other stuff. You have to make that call. If you're the vice president of competition, you want to, everyone wants to keep safety and all that other stuff, but you can't continue to make mistakes. You have to be consistent. And again, Scott Miller, they were on their toes on that one. They messed the ball up on that one, but luckily for Kyle Busch, he was able to focus like Kyle Busch can and bring home the checkered flag. So Scott Miller screwed the pooch, him and his team, on this one. Uncontrolled. They're calling it all day until when it mattered the most, and they did not. And also the boot as well. It was shown on live TV. The crew guys for Harvick doing pounding the one of the safety crews, I guess, giving him knuckles, if you will, saying good job, thanks for not penalizing us, whatever. So that's a bad look for NASCAR in that one. that has to be addressed. You can't make friends. NASCAR's a tight community. We stick with the good, stick with the bad, and all that other stuff. We can give each other hell and whatnot, but in that situation, that looks bad, especially when it gets caught on national TV, saying being conspiracy theorists and whatnot. That looks bad in this case for that team, and not only that just makes it the situation whole lot worse for Scott Miller's boys. So again, they were not up to speed, calling penalties left and right all day long, and then when it mattered the most, even though Kyle Busch, luckily Kevin Harvick did not win on that missed call. Otherwise, we would be talking about a whole lot of situations here tonight on this edition EG3 show. But bottom line is, we call like we see it. They missed the call. Clearly, there was two tires outside the box or on that line, and they missed the call. But Harvick, he would not finish in the run position. He would have had to go down the pit on green, make a beeline. Well, I won't say beeline, but he would have had to go through pass-through penalty under green. On top of that, that would have took him out of contention for that run-up spot as well. But again, NASCAR stumbles its toes, and again, this pit gun situation has been gotten worse and worse. And Coulthard kind of threw Harvick's team kind of under the bus, not the driver, but the team that says, hey, we got our pit guns. I mentioned this back in Atlanta when the 78 had their issues and Coulthard was pissed off about, you know, NASCAR not giving good equipment, especially concerning the pit gun situation. But he's basically said, hey, you know, Harvick and those guys didn't have, well, they had issues there, I believe, in Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken. They did have issues with the pit guns. And again, the pit guns have come back into the clouds again. And we're here, we're talking about the NASCAR, again, stumbled on his toes on that. So we got to do something about that, the pit guns, and whether or not they should be issuing those to the teams. Because right now, clearly, you know, yesterday Harvick's team was definitely on top of the board when it comes to making mistakes on pit road. And Blaney's team, they had a good car as well yesterday, and they stumbled on their toes. Also, you can throw Denny Hamlin as well, the driver. Denny Hamlin, the most speeding penalties, the king of speeding on pit road in NASCAR. A mistake. He was on a different strategy compared to the rest in stage run. He was sitting up pretty good for the rest of the race, but he manages to speed again by 1 mile per hour, and his race was all screwed up from there. He didn't even finish in the top 10. So Denny Hamlin took himself out of the race. So again, we're talking about Hamlin. He taking himself out of opportunity to finish in the top 10, did not do that. And I'm making sure he didn't, and he did not. So Denny Hamlin taking himself out. And Denny Hamlin was actually part of a multi-car wreck, including Brad Keselowski in the mix and others involved in this wreck. So this race had it all. I thought definitely it was going to be a Kevin Harvick show again yesterday after stage one. It was a crap show yesterday for a while there. And then Kyle Busch, Kurt Busch got going after one of each other. Kyle Busch winning stage two. Now he's even with Kurt, his brother Kurt, in that department. But he got the win yesterday. And now he sits with 7 stage points and has a commanding points lead heading into Bristol due to a couple drivers having issues, and Martin Truex Jr. finishing dead last and getting no stage points for the second consecutive race. That kills his chances, at least for right now, even though we still have plenty racing left to go in the regular season. That was very rare to see him out this early, so he didn't get no stage points at all and lost a ton of ground on top of that. And Kyle Larson, who was battling a loose race car also for a majority of that race, he also in an uncharacteristic situation. And everybody keeps talking about Jimmy Johnson, when he's going to come out party. You know, everybody's saying, you know, he's going the right direction. But, you know, Mike Joy said yesterday, you're listening to the EG3 Show post-race podcast, April the 3rd. We're going to take that short break here after I talk about Jimmy Johnson. Then we'll go and do the full rundown and hand out EG3 helmet stickers of the night. But everybody's saying, you know, Mike Joy said Jimmy Johnson winning his first practice race of the season, what good does it do him? I know it gives him that confidence, but what good does it do? You don't pay points to win practices, obviously. You got to go out here and do it, show up when the money's right. And Jimmy Johnson ran inside the top 20, but yet he struggled. He started in the top 10, though, due to a good, by the way, going back to qualifying, they did not finish the whole qualifying session due to weather in the area. After the first part of qualifying, they decided to fold up the binder, pack up the binder, and head to the house. Kurt Busch sat on the pole for the second consecutive race at Texas, and Jimmy Johnson started in the top 10, but he didn't do nothing much there at all. He went straight backwards and got a lap down at some point, and then he got up in that mix with Almirola, Keselowski and Hamlin. So Denny Hamlin screwed himself again in one of these races. How many times have we have said on the podcast that Denny Hamlin just screws himself out of a potential good finish or a win? How many times has he going to continue to do that? So Denny Hamlin knows how to shoot himself in the foot. Time and time again, Jimmy Johnson, everyone's giving him high praise, and we see improvement. Yeah, we see that in qualifying and in practice, but in the race, when comes for prime time, he ain't there. So that's all I got to say for that, and that is going to be my cue to head to the intermission for a minute, and when we come back to the EG3 post-race reaction, go full field, and I'm going to hand out EG3 helmet stickers here on the cup side. Texas was definitely Texas, that's for sure, with all the issues from really both races. We'll be back after this EG3 show. EG3 show is back with yours truly, Eddie Greer III, for the EG3 show. The world of NASCAR, bringing you news, race recaps, and other news from multiple sports. EG3 show, all about the world of NASCAR. Camry World Truck Series, who's off for another few weeks. Xfinity Series, Monster Energy, NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports, breaking down what took place yesterday afternoon in cold Texas. Again, this was one of those races that had the feeling it's going to be another one of these dominating races by the four car, but it turned out to be an entertaining race for sure. That's probably because, you know, it's when you look at a race, it's like it's a lot more or less, I guess, tense when one of your favorite driver goes out of there. And definitely that was one of those days yesterday with Martin Truex Jr. goes out, and he kicks off actually the full field rundown, finishing dead last. So we usually talk about him later in a rundown, but 1 point finishing shotgun the field due to a right front tire going down, and that was really the issues all day. Also with you going over almost over 200 miles an hour, 200 miles an hour, if that, even a little bit more than that. But definitely thankful that MTJ was all right and able to walk away from a hard hit. Kyle Larson as well, finishing 36th. Jimmy Johnson, 35th. I mean, there's the improvement factor again, like I talked about before the intermission. But hey, where's the results? We ain't seen it yet. Until then, I ain't sat, you know. I know I haven't been on that Jimmy bandwagon for quite some time, and again, it continues on. It'll continue to roll through as we head to Bristol this weekend. Jimmy Johnson finished 35th, Denny Hamlin 34th, Brad Keselowski 33rd, Eric Almirola, who's having a solid day again yesterday before getting tapped by, I believe, Denny Hamlin in that. Almirola finishes in the 32nd spot. Reed Sorensen bailed out, who had overheating problems, finished 33rd. So those are some heavy hitters, 37th through 32nd. And usually we see that on restricted plate tracks when somebody some of those guys are caught up in the big wrecks. But we saw it yesterday at Texas. Paul Menard finished 30th. Daniel Suarez, update on him. Daniel Suarez injured his thumb yesterday early in this race. One of those early incidents in the Cup Series race yesterday. Suarez injured his thumb. It was put in a brace. And we'll have more updates on Suarez later in the middle of the week. But Daniel Suarez injured yesterday, but he'll be all right. But we'll have more updates on that thumb as we prepare for short track racing this weekend. Alex Bowman, who was a part of that early wreck as well in the 88, finished 28th. Ryan Newman, 27th. Austin Dillon, 26th. Austin Dillon, he was everywhere yesterday. Austin Dillon, the Daytona 500 champ this year. Austin Dillon, he was in the middle of everything. All the wrecks yesterday, he was playing pinball. He looked like he was playing pinball out there with half of these drivers yesterday. And coming home in 26th spot, that team's got to get it figured out. And Austin Dillon, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Stenhouse going to another backup car this year. It's the third time doing it. And he was up there still battling for a potential top 10 finish yesterday until having apparently brake issues yesterday with the 17 car. And for him, another disappointing finish for him, 25th. So Ricky Stenhouse Jr. can't get it figured out in practice. Cannot save the car against the wall, even though something to do with the right front tire. But again, Stenhouse, the theme this year, going to too many backup cars. 25th, Allmendinger, AJ Allmendinger, 24th, David Reagan, 23rd. Harrison Rhodes, where did he come from? 22nd position. He kind of benefited from that a little bit from those guys. But hey, you stay on the track, gain some knowledge a little bit. Hey, you get a respectable top 25 finish. So out of order, Harrison Rhodes. Landon Castle in that double zero, 21st. Greg Gaulding, 20th. These are these guys that finish in the 30s. And they took advantage of the mistakes or misfortunes of those big-name guys like Truex, Hamlin, Larson, those guys who had issues. And he finished 20th. Cole Whitt, 19th. How about that? Ross Chastain, 18th. Casey Kane coming home in 17th spot. Matt DiBenedetto running majority of the laps here and finishing the top 20. So the DiBurrito machine, 16th. Chris Buescher, a nice 15th spot, coming off getting married in the off weekend. So congratulations, Chris Buescher. Michael McDowell, an impressive 14th position. And McDowell, he was fast going back to Las Vegas. And he finished in the top 15. So a great job by these guys that you don't call out normally finishing this high in the finishing order. Ty Dillon, matching his car number, 13th. Trevor Bayne, coming home in 12th. That's a finish that they need. Chase Elliott finishes outside the top 10, 11th. The lead Hendrick guy, William Byron, my fantasy, kind of a wild card for fantasy on my team yesterday. William Byron, he needed to get at least 20 points. He got more than that, finishing in the 10th spot, 27 points for that. Byron, an attaboy. Lead Hendrick Carr, great job by Byron in my fantasy, so great job by him. Clint Boyer off his monster Martinsville victory, 9th. Darrell Wallace Jr., much needed top 10. Great job by that click and close Chevy, and he was up as high as 3rd yesterday. Great job by Bubba to bring that thing home. And that team, Drew Blickensterfer's crew chief, that team needed it. Off weekend to reset, to think it through, and the 43 showed up in the top 10. Kurt Busch, who was up there all afternoon long, finished 7th. Joey Logano, 6th. And Ryan Blaney had a missed opportunity yesterday for the sweep. Couldn't get it done due to team mistakes on pit road. Ryan Blaney, and yet still finishing the top 5. In the 5th spot, didn't lead in the laps though, but Blaney, even though with no front nose, coming home in the 5th spot. So that was good. And then how about the guy that we haven't been talking about, Erik Jones, the quiet man, that Jones boy, leading 64 laps, and he was one of those guys that had the potential to win this race. Obviously, I have him circled for Bristol coming up. He loves that place, but great job by young Erik Jones. And if that run doesn't get any attention, I don't know what will. Erik Jones in that 20 car, replacing Matt Kenseth. He did an awesome job yesterday. Finished fourth spot. He qualified mid-pack, but thanks to the shortened qualify process, but he methodically moved his way, kind of like Matt Kenseth, up to the field, and he had an opportunity to lead a ton of laps. Jamie McMurray. I said this on the Pit Road edition. If you have not listened to the Pit Road episode from last week, you should. McMurray, I said it on that episode. McMurray, he needed a good finish. He needed something positive coming out of Texas. He did that, finishing in the third spot. And he also stayed out of trouble. And that number one McDonald Chevy showed some good speed yesterday. And with Larson out early, McMurray stepped up, and he stepped up in a big way for that Ganassi organization. So McMurray, top three finish, and we already documented these two drivers, Harvick finishing in second, and what it might have been if Scott Miller and crew called the uncontrolled tire at that moment, he would have finished probably somewhere outside the top 10. That did not happen. Scott Miller failed to pull the plug, and we talking about Harvick in the wrong position. And he couldn't overcome all the mistakes anyways by his slow pit crew who did not come to play yesterday. They were still out there, out of the ballpark, grilling steaks or whatnot. And Kyle Busch, your winner at Texas for the third time in his career and getting his win number one of the year yesterday, leading 116 laps. That's your full field rundown. EG3 show. Eddie Gritter third here with you guys tonight, for the post-race reaction. Man, there's so much I could talk about some more, but gotta begin to wrap this up. EG3 helmet stickers, real quick. Obviously, Jamie McMurray, EG3 helmet sticker of the week. Also, I want to give one to Erik Jones. How about that? 64 laps and an opportunity to win this race, but couldn't get it done. But all in all, that team was solid, not only on the track, but their pit crew as well for that 20 got the job done as well. EG3 helmet sticker, and I'm going to actually give out an extra one here. Darrell Wallace Jr., EG3 helmet sticker for a job well done at one point or another in this race. He held off Kevin Harvick. These two were down a lap, and Bubba managed to hold off one of the faster cars of the entire race, Harvick, for quite a period of time there. So definitely very impressive. And the final one of the night got to be going to William Byron. This got to be a boost of confidence. We've seen him lead laps in the West Coast swing, but Byron finishing in the top 10 earns yourself an EG3 helmet sticker of the week. And I'm in a giving mood tonight. Let's give another one out to one of these guys that we don't call out normally. And I'm going to focus in on the guy who finished 14th, Michael McDowell, who showed some good speed at Las Vegas that carried over to this past weekend. McDowell gets an EG3 helmet sticker of the week, and that's going to close the book on that this week on the Post Reaction Podcast. EG3 helmet stickers of the week, McDowell, Byron, Bubba, Erik Jones, and McMurray, EG3 helmet stickers of the week. You're listening to EG3 show. Man, I am tired. It's been one of those days. EG3 show, Eddie Gritter III here with you guys. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to the weekly post-race podcast. And I'm not going to get through them all. I'm going to save some of these for the preview show, but the number of the week I'm going to leave you guys with today, I'm going to save the off-script numbers for the preview show, where I stumbled on NASCAR.com for you guys on the preview show. But momentarily, though, number of the week, 8. That was mentioned at the end of the broadcast yesterday, 8 times now, that Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick have finished 1-2. 3 times already this year, but Harvick on the other end of that. But yesterday, Kyle Busch changed that and finally got on the board, and this could be bad news for the competition. We know Harvick's winning, but when you get Kyle Busch start winning, that could be problems for the rest of us. But Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick have now finished 1-2 eight times in a span in their Cup careers, including three times this year, including yesterday's thrilling fight to the finish down at Texas. It was definitely a shootout to the finish between the 4 and the 18 yesterday. And again, I have to say this again, you know, Harvick went out of California while Truex was a dominating car there. Harvick had his issue with Larson, and we were all speculating, oh, you know, Harvick would have get Truex and whatnot. But here, I did the same thing yesterday with Truex going out. I wonder if Truex would have had something for Harvick, whatnot, you know, with the sun come out a little bit there towards the end of that race. So, you know, last year it was a 42-18-78. This year, it's the 4-78 in the 18. So Harvick has to go up against the Toyotas. Last year, it was Larson. Larson, uncharacteristically, with these odd finishes. Larson finished outside the top 10 in Martinsville a couple weeks ago. Here has the problems. He finishes deep in the field with Truex. So, you know, the 42 has to have some answers too. But again, a golden opportunity for Kyle Larson as he has the opportunity to turn it around on a short track double here. Bristol this week, Richmond next week. So we'll see what happens there. But again, the three-horse race right now, and you might as well throw in, you know, these Penske cars. More notably, Ryan Blaney, and let's not forget the forgotten one, Joey Logano. Another strong performance. And oh, by the way, Logano won technically, quote unquote, last year's Richmond race, but it was, of course, we're going to use the word canceled instead of the E word due to not passing post-race tech. So let's just throw the Penske cars in here. And Brad Keselowski struggled yesterday at Texas, so they're going to have to get that turned around. But again, for Keselowski, Bristol is one of his favorite tracks, so we could see him in the fight at Bristol Motor Speedway here coming up this weekend. All right, folks, few more minutes. EG3 Show, of course, Facebook.com/EG3 Show. Again, check us out right there on the Facebook page. And again, of course, listen to us on Audioboom, Spotify, and of course, iTunes. Again, please, if you have not already, tell your friends about this podcast. Go to iTunes, subscribe, rate, and review. And if you're up to it, feel free to leave us a question or comment on the EG3 Show. And we could possibly have your questions answered, one of your questions answered on the EG3 Show episode in the near future or down the road somewhere down the line. But again, please, everyone, if you're a current listener of this podcast, if you're listening overseas, which we have been getting a lot of listeners overseas, and I appreciate that so much. That helps out a lot with this podcast, and it really actually spreads the word, knowing that this is the world of NASCAR right here on the EG3 Show. Spread the word, tell your other friends about it, help them get into it. EG3 Show, iTunes, subscribe, rate, and review, and also continue to listen on Spotify. We've been getting huge hits on that as well. It's very awesome to see that as well. And of course, all started on Audioboom, Google Play. Spread the word. That's huge. Get the word out there that, hey, we have a lot of NASCAR podcasts out there, especially the new ones coming in this year, including this one right here, EG3 Show. What's our motto? Join the movement, folks. You know what it is. Join the movement, EG3 Show. We are bringing it to you, and we're going to continue to bring you Outside the Lines NASCAR coverage. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to wrap things up for the EG3 Show here tonight. Post-race Texas style. Man, there are some weird races this weekend. But hey, the Cup guys, once again, go out on top. Thank you for listening to tonight's Post-Race Reaction Podcast. And next time you'll listen on the podcast, it should be another Pit Road edition of the podcast. Again, I don't know what team it is, but it's going to be an Xfinity Series team. Because last week was a Cup team. This coming week, it's going to be an Xfinity Series team. And we'll dive into more of that of that team as we will record later this week, and of course the preview show as well. But if you have not listened to the latest podcast episodes of the podcast, I encourage you, please go on there and listen and tell your NASCAR friends about it. And also, if your buddies or someone that wants to get in NASCAR, there are a few podcasts out there, but yes, include the EG3 show with it as well. Again, it's been a blast tonight on this edition of the EG3 show tonight. And again, this is going up tomorrow at some point, so you guys are going to be listening to it the day of, or once this is published, we have people listening right away, so that's a feel-good story as well. But we got to wrap this show up. Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen, to the EG3 show podcast. It's always an honor to bring you, once again, NASCAR coverage on the EG3 show. Until next time, we're going to close up shop. EG3, we rolling out. Thank you for listening to the EG3 show. We'll talk to you on the next EG3 show podcast. We'll be right back.